So there's a bunch of things I'm thinking about, so I'm just trying to think of which, where to go with them.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I guess one thing I was thinking about is we're talking about tactile response as being quicker than visual.
Yeah.
So there's a way in which, and then at the end you were saying you almost get to, the person sort of introduces themselves through that instant tactile touch. Somebody you've never met before, but because you've done cheese house so many times with so many different body types, personalities, you get to know that person as soon as you touch hands with them, and then you know how to, how to respond. So there's something that almost seems like that's not even, so it's not something you're thinking about clearly. It's not in the way that we usually think about thought, that you're not thinking, I'm going to do this and then that, just
return
for that.
Yeah, you're not thinking, absolutely. And that's what I mean by left brain, right brain, right? Yeah. So, but you are absolutely experiencing the felt sense sensations. Like you and I were talking about David Abrams' books a little while ago about, he's all about that, right? Like, having deep sensate experiences of things versus in my mind thinking about them and actually relating with them directly. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're doing in Chi Sao, is you are relating directly with the other person. Mm-hmm. And what that means is, you know, I want you to notice the pressure. I want you to notice the speed. I want you to notice the temperature of that person's body. I want you to notice the tension or the relaxation. All of those things are right brain experiences, and that's all you have to do. Right now, you can't take it to another level and say, oh, I'm noticing my muscles, you know, over tense right now. Oh, I notice that sensation because I can recognize this is too much. Mm-hmm. And now I can attune, that's where these micro attunements come in. Oh, I can now relax my shoulder a little bit while I continue to play this game of Chi Sao. And that's how I repattern or, you know, refocus my skill level. And I was noticing, do these sensations correspond to a felt sense? Yes. And that yes, I talked about, I think in my opening comments on the last newsletter about, you know, all Wing Chun is finding the yes in your body, which is basically, am I on center line and am I safe? Yeah. And that feels like a yes, because you've trained it so many times and you've had people run some Kun Sao energy, hand-checking energy into your structure so you can verify with physical contact on your arms that actually this isn't going to hit me, but I can hit any time I want. So that, again, that mindful sensate repetition with a whole variety of positions and partners and drills and dynamism, all of that creates something much bigger than anything you've trained directly when you have to actually use it in a fight. All of that stuff integrates.
Well, it's interesting too, because it's not that sort of overt thinking, but it's also doesn't seem to quite be habit either, because it's something that's much more dynamic, much more responsive, and mindful at the same time. So it's not purely a unconscious habit. I just do this, I do this.
No. And that's what the mindfulness is what can create the new habit or shape previous unconscious habits.
Yeah.
Right. So again, if you look in, you know, the evolution of the human nervous system, you know, and you know, like the reptile mind is, you know, mostly like, you know, 99% instinct and reaction. You know, they'll have some inputs through their senses, and then that'll hit some predetermined behaviors of like, I'm going to eat, kill, or sleep, or go get warm. I mean, that's pretty much it. They're not weighing the pros and cons, so to speak. So we have those parts of us, you know, the autonomic part of our nervous system, which controls breathing and heart rate and cellular function and all kinds of things that I'm not consciously aware of, right? But those things are also linked to my ability to do something today like fighting or self-defense. So if I'm, you know, too hypervigilant or too tense or too whatever, well, I can actually moderate that through this mindful training, right? I can change the tone of my muscle in an exercise by learning to relax or learning to do things differently. And it is that mindful repetition that, again, creates those habits that we're looking for. Because what I want when someone is aggressing against me is I want really good habits to come out reflexively, because I don't have the time to think about it. Mm-hmm. And this is what I love about Wing Chun. You say, well, oh my God, someone can attack you in a thousand different ways. And it's like, yeah, but there's only one center line, and that's the only thing I need to remember. Mm-hmm. Go to center line.
Yeah.
And then once the contact, that pushes all the software buttons in my nervous system of what my body's going to do. but I need the contact for that to happen.
And that has a lot, touches a lot on yi, intent, that your intent isn't to worry about where the attack, the arms are coming from, but just, do you have center line? Do you have that sort of that small hole?
And go to center line.
I mean,
well, this might be another conversation, but the, you know, the more, I want to say advanced, but I'll use it because I can't think of a better word, but, you know, the advanced training that links with Chi Sao and then is separate from is the Mai Song Zhong training drills.
And those are basically, you know, one or two step enter and attacking drills where a person is attacking and defending. And so what that does is it, so Chi Sao, I'll just go back to Chi Sao. So Chi Sao helps you when you have contact, right?
Yeah.
As soon as you have contact, you've done Chi Sao, your hands will do something. But how do you get contact without getting knocked out first? Right? So that's where the Mai Song Zhong training is that you train repetitively, you know, on the count of three or whenever you're ready, go to the center line. Without any hesitation. You might, you know, shave or change the line a little bit on your way in, but you're basically stepping in with a good Wing Chun horse stance, smart with your weight on the back, front foot, toes, like all those things we know that will minimize us getting hurt stepping into a confrontation.
Yeah.
And with the Zhong Sao, and the Zhong Sao is the bread and butter technique for engagement.
Well, I was thinking that when we were talking about the pillars, the Zhong Sao's not there, but you don't do Zhong when you've already got contact.
That's right.
Using it before.
The Zhong Sao is, you know, it's the safe technique for when you're engaging towards the center line.
Right.
Okay. Its nature is very good at, number one, creating a protective wedge when you have your Zhong Sao technique forward and then your guard hand. You have a nice protective wedge around your body. And but also when you're bringing that energy forward and releasing energy in your Zhong Sao, it's very difficult to stop your Zhong Sao from penetrating someone else's arms if they have anything on center line.
Mm-hmm.
It really is like a hot knife cutting through butter. It's really hard to stop a good Zhong Sao coming forward, boom, put the structure of the body behind it. And so once you have the contact with the Zhong Sao, again, assuming someone else has two hands on the sweet spot on center line, then if your Zhong Sao don't just cut through that and then you hit as if they weren't there, and your Zhong Sao will just make a fist at the last millisecond and knock that person out, right? But if you feel it's like, oh, they've got good structure, they have some resistance here, then you're able to change. And that's where your Chi Sao comes in. What happens when someone moves me off center line? Oh, the other hand comes, oh my God. And then all these techniques start to flow naturally. Okay. So the Mai Song Zhong drills train any fear, frozenness, hesitation out of you when someone's aggressing towards you. You've just done it so many times. Someone moves towards you, you step in.
You step in,
and you can override any sort of freeze response your nervous system may have when it gets triggered into extreme stress. You basically transformed a big part of your undercurrent being, and I can talk about this on a very, very personal level. I mean, one of the reasons I trained martial arts was I came from a physically abusive background. So there's a lot of fear around being harmed and aggressed against and trauma, and my number one go-to in terms of stress response wasn't a flight or a fight, it was freeze. That was the only thing that was available to me, you know? So that has lots of consequences in life, physical, emotional, psychological. So being able to repattern that in a safe, supportive environment, whether it comes through brothers and sisters, I mean, there's a lot of trauma healing and confidence, as well as the skill that came from that, because I repatterned my body, which repatterns my emotions, which repatterns my thinking patterns, right? By learning to cross that threshold of, you know, someone moves towards me, I don't get frozen, I move towards it, I engage with it. So it was a great life teaching there, as well as really great fight strategy, because Wing Chun's benefits are, I want to get contact. I exhale when I get contact. I inhale when I go into it. When I don't know what, like where there isn't anything to feel, it's like I don't know this person yet. I can see them, but I don't really know them. But you can't lie on the felt sense. You can't fake that, right? I know who you are. Like my Sifu, my Sigong, Sunny Tang, you know, he would tell stories about his Sifu Moyad and Ip Man. And, you know, those guys, if they wanted to find out about how good someone's kung fu was, he'd say they wouldn't even have to touch hands with them. Just the way they would walk in the room, they would know. But earlier on, when they weren't as good, they could say, I could do one or two rolls with somebody in Chisao, and then I knew. Yeah. They didn't have to do anything. I could just feel where the holes are, where their aggression was, where they're... So on contact.
So we've talked about in class before how touching hands and doing rolls, sometimes you sort of telegraph, or it's this huge sign, especially with the beginners, so the red sash when they're first learning, have no... When you're just learning the first basics, how to roll, you're not aware of the big holes you're leaving or advertising.
Yeah, like I said, you're just learning some basic skills to play the game.
But
you're
later on...
You're not playing the game yet.
Later on, you're able to read those signs, and they're very large signals being sent.
Yeah, and then you're learning to minimize those signals because your partner is taking advantage of them, so you get better, and then they have to get better to read even smaller signals.
Right.
So again, this is where sensitivity is such a key part of the Wing Chun system. Is if you really train and hone that ability, and you can notice really subtle movements or changes of balance or direction,
mm-hmm.
Even maybe before the other person is aware they're doing it, and you can take quick advantage of that and finish the fight, I mean, that's an amazing sort of thing.
Yeah.
Right? And it can be something really small, right? Because those are the places that we can actually train to have advantages for. Again, you know, just referencing the whole Wing Chun system, it's we're not using size, brute strength, force, or endurance. What if you don't have those and you still have to defend yourself? Well, okay, what do I have left? And then, you know, we talk about our theories, principles, and attributes, and we train those.
Yeah.
You can develop those skill sets. And the Chi Sao piece is really what allows you to, again, even when things are dynamic, with the Toi Ma, pushing and pulling of the horse dance, that I can still feel changes, I can still reorient, I can still keep a clean technique backwards and forward, I can still stay on center line, I can still have my intent going forward, I can still keep my horse, my Ichi Kim Yong Ma, and not let that break, right? And I can do it all at the same timing as the other person is moving, and just a little bit faster, right? Because I don't want to communicate ahead of time what I'm up to, but I certainly don't want to be late. Those aren't great situations. I want to sort of like, I want the other person to feel me as if I'm not doing anything, even though they can feel some movements, but they don't feel aggression, and then bang. Like that's sort of the nature of the Wing Chun fight. It's not like, you know, chopping your way through brush to get to, you know, some end point to hit somebody. It's just feeling little pieces, moving and changing when you have to, and finding your way into the vulnerable place in their body and then hitting.
And when you encounter resistance or blockage, or an intent to, say, in Chi Sao to go down or something, energy's pushing down a bit, it seems like what we try to do in Wing Chun is let that happen. So if they're pushing down, you go around and you hit around. And
or I want to redirect it to a place where I would have advantages.
Okay.
You know, or I'll run hands, I'll change hands. So hand replacement. It's like, you know, if I'm in the Bong Sao position and you try and push my Bong Sao out of the way, but my other hand is free, I'll just stick with you with my Bong Sao as it goes down, and then I'll hit you. And then after I hit you, guess what's going to happen to my Bong Sao?
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be free, right? So that's where we have double hand techniques and single hand techniques. Well, okay, I'll just stick with you, but my other hand's going to replace or run or change or hit or, you know. So again, there's a brilliance around how you can train your hands to work coordinated together or to work individually, right? Based on the information that you get from the other person. So even though in the Chi Sao curriculum, you will practice sequences of all the different techniques, how to initiate them. If I do, say, for example, a tanda, what would be a next logical position or technique that would flow from a tanda that, you know, follows the principles, rules, and theories, like save time, save move, save energy. So I'll practice, you know, sequences of maybe three or four techniques in a row. And I'll add in different, you know, footwork, either a chun ma shift or a little duck walk step or a full step in. So I'll integrate those things just so the nervous system has an experience of what feels good, what feels logical, precise. So that when I need something from Chi Sao, when it becomes more, let me say, more freestyle, and a hole emerges, then I'm not going to think, oh, I should do a tanda right now. This would be a really, no. When I feel the hole, the sensitivity triggers the neural pathways for all those techniques that I did, like a filing cabinet, and pulls out the one that makes sense for the space that's opening.
Mm-hmm.
The technique just comes.
Yeah.